But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If you, or if thou, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles, and don't live like a Jew, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews? We who are by Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. What we have here is one apostle rebuking another apostle. Here's two great men, men mightily used of God, been used of God men for years. But here's the younger rebuking the elder. And not only that, but doing it publicly, doing it in front of everybody that was there, and then not only that, but then writing it down and telling the whole world about it. Yeah. And here I am talking about it tonight. Now, as this shows us this, that if Christianity had been the invention of men, this wouldn't have been recorded. If the Catholics should have wrote this and this happened to a Pope, they wouldn't have put that in there. Ain't that right? But if Christianity had been the invention of men, this wouldn't have been recorded. But there's a reason that the Holy Spirit put it here. There's some things for us to learn. And there's three lessons that I want us to look at tonight going through these verses. And J.C. Ryle said this, great preachers and Christian leaders often make great mistakes. Often make great mistakes. Second is this, to keep the truth of Christ, to hold to the truth of Christ and His gospel is more important than to keep the peace. And third lesson that we want to look at is there's no doctrine about which we should be more jealous or more zealous about than justification by faith without the deeds of the law. Without the deeds of the law. Let's look at this first one here. Great preachers and leaders often make great mistakes. Huh? And here was Simon Peter. He is one of the greatest apostles. Greatest apostles. He was within the inner circle, you know. Him and James and John went with the Lord Jesus Christ just about everywhere he went. They were with our Lord on the greatest occasions. In fact, our Lord told Simon Peter there, He said, I give us Simon Peter upon this rock, I'll build my church, and I'm going to give to you the keys of the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
And he gave Simon Peter the keys to the kingdom, and by that keys, he preached, he opened the door of faith to the Jews on the day of Pentecost and to the Gentiles at Cornelius' house, and the gospel of the grace of God was preached there. And Christ began to be preached there that day when he had the keys to the kingdom. And he opened the door of faith to the Jews. He opened the door of faith to the Cornelius' house. And he is the one that stood up in that great conference in Jerusalem when they debated over whether a man had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. And he stood up and says, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice by me that the Gentiles should hear the word of faith by my mouth. And how God used me there, and how that we believe that we shall be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as they of Gentiles. He stood up and defended salvation by grace, salvation through Christ, salvation by faith, and with the hearing of the gospel. But here in Galatians 2, which we see him withdrawing from the Gentiles for fear of the Jews that came down from Jerusalem. And so many followed his example that even Barnabas, who actually traveled with Paul for years, Introduce Paul to the apostles. Introduce Paul to the churches because they were afraid of him. Even Barnabas got carried away with dissimulation. It says there in verse, this is why I withstood him in verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he is to be blamed. Before that certain came down from James. James is the one who was the head of the church in Jerusalem. He sat down and ate in fellowship with the Gentiles. You remember when Christ let that sheet down three different times and told him to rise, slay, and eat? He said, not so, Lord. And that was how the Lord showed him that he had to go down to Cornelius' house and have and preach to the Gentiles and treat them Gentiles exactly like he had treated anybody else. Make no difference between them and a Jew. Well, here he is. He's eating with these Gentiles. And those Jews came down and he said, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? These Jews are going to... They're going to really think bad of me, you know, and they're going to think that I've become a Gentile. They're going to think that I'm unclean. They're going to think I'm unacceptable. They're going to think I'm denying the law of Moses. So he separated himself from them, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And when they done that, everybody, a whole bunch got up from the table and went with him. Other Jews dissembled likewise. And that word dissembled, dissimulation means it's play acting. It means stage acting. It means you pretend you've got one motive for doing something and the motive is really something else. He acted like the motive was he was defending the law of Moses when really his real motive was he was scared to death of them Jews and being rejected by them. And everybody got caught up in that and said, boy, old Simon Peter, he knows what he's doing. Let's just go with him. He's leaving the table. Let's leave with him. It's like when he went back fishing and said, we'll just go fishing too. And oh my, three great errors Peter made. In his life he made three great errors. And this is the third one. The first one, you remember when he tried to keep the Lord Jesus Christ from going to the cross. When the Lord Jesus says the Son of Man must go up to Jerusalem and be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Simon Peter laid hands on him and said, be it far from thee, Lord, not so. It's not going to happen. Our Lord rebuked him, said, get behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things of God, but the things that be of men. And the second great error that he made was this one. Three times he denied the Lord. I ain't going to deny you. I'll go to prison with you. I'll even die with you. Three times he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. When that rooster crowed the third time, he went off and wept bitterly and even cursed. If you'd have been standing there that day, said, there ain't no way that's an apostle of the Lord. There ain't no way that man knows God. But he is an apostle in the inner circle. And here he is, here's his third great error. Here he is at Antioch endangering the very foundation of the gospel, which is justification by faith without the deeds of the law.
Amen.
Huh? And this is to teach us that the greatest of men are just men. You remember Nebuchadnezzar made that great big image? Everybody had to come bow down to that image. That image made out of brass and iron and metal and everything. But you know one thing was wrong with it? Had feet made out of clay. And I don't care how big a man gets, how popular he gets, or how high we think he is, how great a shadow he cast, he's still just a man. And he's got feet made out of clay. All of us do. And that the apostle, when the apostles, we learned this, that when the apostles are not under divine inspiration, they make great mistakes. Oh, Paul made his, and he made two grievous mistakes himself. Moses made mistakes. He smote the rock twice. He said, am I going to have to deal with you all the time? He got angry at times, and he didn't get to go into the promised land on account of that. Oh, vanity's best estates altogether vanity. And I know, and it teaches us this, that unless the grace of God keeps us, we ourselves will fall into error. I know that believers are elect. I know they're justified. I know we're sanctified. I know we've been converted. I know we love God. And I know we love our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit of God within us. We're kept by the very power of God. But still, we're men. And we're at our best, we're very frail, weak creatures. Uh-huh. And the Scriptures are full of people who did this, made these great mistakes. Abraham, when he listened to Sarah, you know what he got? Got Ishmael. And we're dealing with Ishmaelites right now. We're buying all our oil from Ishmaelites. They got us over a barrel. It's called an oil barrel. Ishmaelites. God said, I'll make you a great nation. Now, they're great nations. That's where Ishmaelites. That's because he listened to Sarah. You can't have no children. Go unto her. She's young. She can have a child. Next thing you know, he's a child of the flesh. He wasn't a child of promise. And Aaron, when Moses is up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, Aaron listened to the children of Israel, got all the gold and threw it in the fire, not come a golden calf. Listen to them. Said, oh, where's Moses? We don't know where he's at. Oh, what am I going to do? Make us a god. Well, he took the gold and made him a god. And he's the first high priest in all of Israel. Oh, David, he wanted to number Israel. He wanted everybody to know what a great, great nation he was king over. He wanted everybody to know how many he had. Joab said, don't, they're God's children. They're God. God numbers his people. He knows who his people is. You might number one that's not his. Don't number them, David. Don't number them. David said, I don't care what you say. I want everybody in Israel numbered. And oh my, what a curse he brought himself under. God gave him three choices. You remember that? 70,000 people could die of a plague. He himself could go to war. And what the other one was, but I forget what the other one was. But one thing he says, oh Lord, I have sinned. I'll just put myself in your hands. You do what's right. You do what's right. You do what best suits you. And then Solomon. Solomon with all of his wisdom. Solomon with all of his glory. He allowed his wife to worship idols and got right in there with him and got down right beside him and worshiped the same idols. Matter of record in the Bible. Matter of record. And Jehoshaphat. Oh, what a good king Jehoshaphat was. But you know what he done? He went down and helped the evil king Ahab. The one who hated Elijah and all of God's people. He went down and helped old Ahab. James and John, you remember this? When our Lord was going through Samaria and they act like they didn't want the Lord there in Samaria, he said, Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven down on them? Them fellas, no wonder they call them thunder, sons of thunder. We'll just call some fire down. How many times have you wished you could call fire down? If you could have, how many times would somebody be burnt up? Herman, how many of you burnt up? And then how about church history? I wouldn't have burnt nobody up. Not me. No. Oh, you know better than that. But then there's not only from the Scriptures, but what about history? History teaches us that great, great men, men of great stature in history, they made some great mistakes. Martin Luther. Oh, God used him to start a reformation. When he nailed him 95 theses to the door at Bloom's there, and he was he got harsh and he got mean, and he was just he even tried to have the Book of James taken out of the Bible. He didn't like the Book of James. He called it a book of straw because it had something to do with faith justified. If you've got faith, it's justified by your works. And he just would not. Hell, he knew where's justification by faith. No works at all. And he said, let's just take the Book of James out because it don't go with what I see and what I understand. And John Calvin. This is one thing that happened. You know, and he's another one God used in the Reformation. He was up in Geneva. And while he's up there, you know, not only was he had a great church up there and taught and preached all every day and wrote all of his institutes, but he was also the civil law. He was head of the civil law. He was the one who's control of everything that went on in town. And if you didn't live right and didn't act a certain way, you had to answer to Mr. Calvin and his soldiers or his people that he had in charge. In fact, he permitted a man to be burned at the stake. Here's a man who hard and taught doctrinally, systematically, the grace of God and predestination and election. Come up with what's called the 5 points. He had allowed a man to be burned at the stake because he didn't agree with it. That's pretty hard, ain't it? That's pretty hard. That's what you do when you get in control, when you got all the power. Wesley and John Wesley and Augustus Toplady, they fought tooth and nail. They abused one another in the press, in tracts. Wesley called Toplady a devil, and he'd call John Wesley a devil. They'd call him beasts, and they'd just say there's no way in the world he could know the Lord, and they just went on and on in the press and wrote tracts and wrote books about one another and just fought tooth and nail. Hated one another, despised one another. They'd mention it and they'd attack them. And there's a man, old John Cramer, I believe his name is. They got him and they're going to take and burn him at the stake. Well, he recanted. He denied the faith. It bothered him so bad that he called him back in there and he says, "I'm sorry that I ever denied the faith and I denied my master." And they took him out and burned him at the stake. He recanted and then he repented and allowed him to take him and burn him at the stake. And the Puritans, oh, everybody likes to read after the Puritans. I don't know how many books I get, and magazine catalogs I get talking about the Puritans. Genius of the Puritans. Let me tell you something about the Puritans. The Puritans hated the Baptists, hated the Church of England, anybody that did not walk according to their rule of faith, and if they had the civil authority and the civil power, and if you didn't agree with them, you went to jail. You went to jail. I mean, you told the line for them. If you had been a Baptist in the Puritans' day, you know what happened to you? John Benjamin Keach, got two big books by him in there, got 700 pages in both of them. When the Puritans did control, they took Benjamin Keach and put him in stocks and thrown things at him because he was a Baptist preacher. And then when they let him out, he started writing hymns and they put him back in there because you didn't write hymns. You sung off the psaltery. Oh, how would you like to be like that? That's what went on then. No wonder I read it to you this evening. Cease ye from man. I read it to you in Psalm 104. Cease from man. Put no confidence in the flesh. Put no confidence in the free. Call no man master. Man, call no man father. If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. And beloved, we know this, that we all have a tendency to look too much to men. Oh, we have a tendency to look too much to men. Those that we can see rather than God we can't see. And oh my, you know, most people, and this is true, you know as well as I do, most people are too lazy to think for themselves and too lazy to look into the Word of God and see whether anything's true or not. They just take whatever somebody says and swallow hook, line, and sinker. So Rolf Barnard said, I've heard him say several times, the safest place to hide from God, buy your Bible and join a Baptist church. They'll never bother you. And God won't even find you there. Because he don't even come in there. I don't know if that's true or not. But it sounds right. But look here in verse 13. Oh my, most too lazy to think for themselves, too lazy to look into the Word of God. And those other Jews dissembled likewise with him, with Simon Peter. Simon made all these mistakes. All these men in the history and the scriptures made all these mistakes. And here these other fellows did likewise. They'll dissemble likewise with him. Insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. They said, we'll follow Peter. He's an old apostle. He can't be wrong. He just can't be wrong. Let me tell you some things. A man isn't right because he lived years ago. That's what calls them the old divines. Ancient writers. Like to quote from ancient writers. I quote from them myself sometimes. But a man isn't right because he lived years ago. A man isn't right because he holds a high office. That office don't make him immune from mistakes. He isn't right because of his learning. Because of his education. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught Simon Peter himself for 3 years. So he isn't right because of his learning. And in spite of all these things, lived years ago, holds a high office, has great learning, Simon Peter's still wrong here. A man isn't right because he's our father in the spiritual matters. He ain't. You know, we love our fathers in spiritual matters. We love the men who brought the gospel to us. I love them. And I thank God for them. And I bless God for Henry Mahan and Scott Richardson and these dear men that I've known over the years, Don and Maurice and David Pledger and Jack and all. I just thank God for every one of them, for all that I've learned from them. But oh my, they're still just men. Yeah. You can read this yourself in 2 Chronicles 24. But there was a... Joash began to reign when he was 7 years old. 7 years old was made king over Israel. Made king over Judah. And he lived for 40 years. And he had a fellow that he's his right-hand man, Jehoiada. When Joash died, as long as Joash was alive, Jehoiada was one of the most faithful men, most dedicated men. Done everything Joash told him to do. He was God-honored man. But when Joash died, Jehoiada's religion died with him. He turned to idols. Oh, my soul, let's not be content with just a religion built on any human being. No preacher, no pastor, no man, no mom, no dad, no... No, let's not build our religion on anything that man says or man does. Well, no matter what our mother says or our dad or our preacher. The Bereans searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. Look what Paul said there in verse 15. This is what we need. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, and He called us by His grace. And He done this to reveal His Son in us or in me. That's what He done. He calls us to reveal His Son in us. And that's what we need to know. That's what we have to understand. That God saved us. God called us. So we see that the greatest of men, great leaders, make some awful great mistakes. Now, second thing I want us to learn is this. To keep the truth of the gospel, to hold to the truth of the gospel, is more important than keeping the peace. More important than keeping the peace. And that what he said there in verse 14, Galatians 2, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, you being a Jew, you go over there and you live like a Gentile does. You don't live like the Jews do up there in Jerusalem. Now, by you walking away and leaving them, you're telling the Gentiles to live like these Jews do. After you've lived like them. You're confusing them, is what he's saying. You see, the Apostle Paul knew how important and precious peace was. You know how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, David said. Look right here, just turn your Bible back one page to 2 Corinthians 13:11. Look what it says here. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. What's this? Live in peace. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. That's why I said live in peace. He told of the Ephesians, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the bond of peace. And oh, he knew what peace was, endeavoring to keep it. He said he became all things to all men, that he might by all means save some. But here's Paul. He wasn't with the 12. Wasn't with the 12. He's 3 years old in the faith before he ever met Simon Peter and James, the Lord's brother. He wasn't with the 12. And here he was when he stood Simon Peter to his face at Antioch in front of all these men. In front of all these Jews, in front of these Gentiles. And there's no doubt, I don't know how many people was present, but a lot of people was present. He risked great division among the apostles. He was the younger. You know, and he says, you know, respect your elders. Them that labor among you give double honor. But he dared to look that old apostle, stand with him eyeball to eyeball and look him in the eye and rebuke him. Rebuke him because he walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Huh? He took the chance that he might divide the whole church. I'm going after Peter. I'm going after Paul. that I'm going to stay with the law, you can stay with the Gentiles. I'm going to know. He took a chance that he might divide the whole church. Why did he do this? Because he hated false doctrine. He hated error. You know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He knew truth was more important than peace. Much, much more important than peace. They walk not according to the truth of the gospel. The gospel has a truth that's defined. The gospel has a truth that's clearly seen. And lots of preachers, I know for a fact they do it, and I've seen them do it, and heard them do it, and know they do it. Lots of preachers, they'll compromise doctrine, they'll compromise truth to keep peace. They'll hide election because they don't want to offend anybody who doesn't believe in election. They'll hide God's sovereignty and say, first time I ever went and preached at a place over in North Carolina, that fellow said, whatever you do, don't mention the sovereignty of God. They hate it over here. They hate Calvinism. And I didn't even know what one was. Said, don't mention God's sovereignty, whatever you do. Call Him Almighty. What do you think I've done? I had to say, God's sovereign. I mean, God's sovereign. On the way out of that building that night, the guy who was running that place, he said, you know, sovereignty's not in the Bible. And I said, Trinity ain't either, but that don't mean there ain't one God and three persons. He named something else, and I said, well, premillennial ain't in there either. Named something else, and I said, Sunday school ain't in there, but you do that, don't you? He kept trying to hem me up. He didn't like it. That's what I'm telling you. People will tell you what you can preach. And oh my, they compromise substitution. Take the blood out of Christ. Take the blood from Christ and His power and His glory. Justification by faith alone, without works, without merit, without law. Perseverance that everyone for whom Christ died will continue. No danger of them not continue. Not just continuing to continue, but continuing in the faith.
Amen.
Everybody's going to persevere in life. But we're talking about persevering in the faith, in Christ, in the gospel. Oh, beloved, he saw the foundation of the gospel of justification by faith under attack here by what Simon Peter did. He knew better. He knew that Peter knew better than that.
Yes, sir.
You see, it was for truth's sake our Lord rebuked the Pharisees. He said, you search the Scriptures and you don't, you're new error neither knowing the power of God nor the Scriptures. And oh, it was for truth's sake that Paul withstood Peter. And oh, Luther denounced the Pope. Whitfield challenged Wesley. And Paul wasn't willing to compromise the truth for unity's sake right here. Tell you a story. I probably told you this before. Old Hugh Latimer. Hugh Latimer's an old preacher. And he preached before King Henry the VIII. You all know who Henry the VIII was. He had how many wives? Six wives? Eight wives? Had a bunch of wives. He'd get one. That's how the Church of England started. He was in the Catholic Church and he wouldn't let you divorce. So he said, well, I'll just start my own religion then. I can divorce whoever I want to. Very well. That's exactly how the Church of England, I'll start a state religion of my own. And so old Henry the VIII, his old Hugh Latimer got up there to preach. He got called come preach for Henry the VIII. And he got up and he preached from where John the Baptist told Herod. He said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Preached on that. And when he got done, Henry the VIII told him, he said, Mr. Latimer, said, I'm going to let you come back next week. And I'm going to give you another opportunity to preach. And I want you to understand who you are you're preaching to and who you're standing before. And old Latimer told him, I know that I'm standing before a king, but I'm also standing before the King of Kings and the Sovereign of the universe. And if I come back next Sunday, I'm going to say exactly what I said today. You know what they done? Henry said, take him out of here and kill him. I don't want him in no more my kingdom. Not many men would have done that. Oh, I'll be back next week. Oh, they would have found some place where somebody had half a dozen wives. Said, it's all. You know, they'd have done something like that. Now, beloved, peace is precious. Unity is precious. But it's not worth compromising the truth over.
No, sir.
Mm-mm. And I tell you this, it can't be done. Truth cannot be made acceptable to the natural man. You can't do it. And let me tell you this, not only that, but error cannot be made acceptable to God's people. Truth and error can't go hand in hand. And you know, you can't make truth acceptable to the natural man, and you can't make error acceptable to God's people. You can't do it. Can you? Huh? Preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us believe. It's the very power of God itself. And then let me say this lastly. Let me hurry. Not only does keep the truth of the gospel, it's more important than peace. And that great men make great mistakes. And there is no doctrine of which we should be more jealous and zealous for than justification without the deeds of the law. Ain't that what he says here in verse 16? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. And that's what he says when he saw them Jews coming down. He says, these Jews are law keepers, Sabbath keepers, ceremonies, and they follow the dietary laws. And when they came down there, he left those Gentiles and went over there and sat with those Jews. And by doing that, he's telling them Jews that you're not near as holy as these folks over here are. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not our faith in Christ. It's by the faith of Christ, Christ Himself. Our faith has to be perfect. We don't have perfect faith. The Lord Jesus Christ did. He obeyed God perfectly. He believed God perfectly. And that's why He's our complete and perfect salvation. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. None. Justification by faith. Now what's Peter done here? That Paul withstood him to his face. He hadn't publicly denied a single article of faith. He had not preached one false doctrine. He had not denied the cross. He had not denied substitution. He had not denied the sacrifice of Christ. He had not denied the blood. He had not denied anything of the faith of Christ. But what he did, he had fellowship with, ate with, communed with the believing Gentiles. Without them being circumcised, without them submitting to the law of Moses, without them having dietary laws, without them having any kind of a law other than faith in Christ. And he did not take the yoke of bondage you put upon them. And he kept company with them as believers in Christ, as heirs of the promise. And then suddenly he withdrew from them. Why? Why? Because these important men came from Jerusalem, came down there. And by leaving them Gentiles and going over to those Jews, he indicated that they were less holy than these Jews were. You're not as acceptable to God as these Jews are. You're not as holy as these Jews are. You don't have the law like these Jews do. Oh, and he implied by his actions, and he just changed tables. He implied by his actions that these believing Gentiles, because they had not kept the law of Moses, that they were lacking something. You lack something. Spent all that time with them, and now they're not acceptable since these Jews came down. That'd be like, me coming to your house, and because a bunch of your family's there, you say, well, I don't want to be embarrassed. You might ought to leave. Because you'd be embarrassed by me or something, don't you? And that's what he acted like, if he's embarrassed. And in a word, what he was doing was he was adding to Christ. You Gentiles, you're good up to a point. You're saved up to a point. I can fellowship with you up to a point. But when these Jews come around, since they're holier than you, more acceptable to God than you, I got to go over and sit with them. Well, Peter, I thought you loved us. You've been preaching to us. You've ate with us. You slept in our houses. You sat at our tables. You've prayed with us. We've had wonderful fellowship. And now all of a sudden we're unclean. Here's them Jews. We're unclean. You'd rather be with them Jews than with us. You're telling us that we're unclean now. We're unacceptable now. We're not holy now. We're not sanctified now. And he never said a word. He just moved from table to table. That's all he did. Oh my. And what he's telling them by his actions, if you want to be accepted, if you want to be holy with someone whom I can fellowship with, you're going to have to come under this law. And Paul wouldn't endure this for a minute. He said, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Because those men came down from Jerusalem and he was afeared of them. He was afraid of them. He was afraid that they'd reject him. He was afraid that they would excommunicate him. He was afraid of their opinions. He wanted to be accepted of them. And he had rather tell those Jews, Gentiles, that they couldn't make it. And the whole book of Galatians is about this very thing. Ain't that what he says in verse 8 of chapter 1? But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that we preach, let him be accursed. Huh? And oh my. So he says here, let me look down here in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 2, and I'll wind it up. Here he says, you know, he withstood him because, oh my, fearing them that were the circumcised, not walking uprightly forth the truth of the gospel. Oh my, like me getting around a bunch of law keepers, Reformed Baptists, and getting right in there with them and agreeing with them. It just won't work. Here, and he says this, and I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now watch this. I do not frustrate the grace of God. That's what Simon Peter did. He frustrated the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Why did you leave the Gentiles and go back over after them Jews? And now over two books over in Colossians. Let me wind up, for this is the long and the short of it. This is it, brethren. Either it's so or we have nothing. Colossians 2:9. This is the long and the short of it. Either it's so or we don't have nothing. For in Him, Colossians 2:9, for in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now watch this. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. So watch this. In whom also you are circumcised. And what kind of circumcision did you have? No priest done it to me. No rabbi done it to me. Oh, how we are circumcised by Christ. Our hearts were circumcised. Our ears were circumcised. Our wills were purified by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So remember, great men make great mistakes. It's better to keep the truth of the gospel. More important to have that than to keep peace. And there's nothing we should be more zealous of and jealous of than the justification by faith without the deeds of the law. Our Father, in the precious holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy given to us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Thank you for the message this evening. I pray that it be a blessing to the saints here. Father, we look to you, we desire you, we need you, and we cast our all upon you and all in with you. Forgive us of everything that's unlike you. And teach us and instruct us in the ways and things of God in Christ. Save you people in this place for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.